Valentina's voice and hands carry a Siberian healing tradition that has spanned many generations and survived extinction and inquisition. Some might say her in-depth PhD studies in medical biochemistry enhanced her abilities, but I'm not so sure. When you work from multiple levels of consciousness, words carry the song, but love is the message. She'll be in Boulder tonight and early this week for talks and private sessions. I'm Robin Clare. Stay tuned. This is Tributaries. Valentina, thank you so much for sharing your time with us today.
Thank you. I am absolutely thankful. This morning I woke up, I couldn't even speak. That comes back again, the feeling of love was so totally and absolutely overwhelming, and it still is. And I was so happy that it could come through whatever we are going to do today, to every word, to every breath, more love to come. Not just love to come, but in a way that it could be, if you would speak love as an energy, then it could be something that easier to accept and take in and breathe in.
Yes, yes. Well, regarding your history, your maternal lineage of healers and herbologists goes back many, many generations. Can you share a story or two you heard when you were young about one of your ancestors that impressed you and maybe helped you to see where your path was going to land?
Yeah, the closest story at that time, or stories, were about my mom's mother, who would be working all day in the fields for government, and at night as she comes from work, she'll be called to help people. Whatever was happening, she was a medicine woman, but not the way we usually think medicine woman, because she was everything just available there, deep in the forest, in a very little village. There was no nurse, no doctor, nobody. Whatever was happening, child is arriving, or someone got injured, or someone got sick, it all was in her hands. However, she would do that. At the very end of her life, I remember her doing things in a very, very simple way, just praying on the water and give that water to people. And people will, in the church, were sending those who are in need to see her. Not only the ones who are sick, but like those who have their loved ones died and some other emotional, not only physical conditions. But when she was young, she was not doing that just with the prayer, because when there were some serious injuries, it needed her hands. So that was not only a story, it was my vision, how she was doing that, even though she wouldn't say that much to me. It was mostly visionary for me. Some of the things she would talk to me were not supposed to be in a 10 years old girl's mind, but they were. I already, as she was talking, like, let's say, talking about woman with her serious problems with the reproductive system after very, very hard physical work at the, on the fields. And she would be adjusting her body. And as she was talking to me about it, she had no idea that as she was talking, I was seeing that in my heard how she was doing that, and I was trying to figure out how to do that better. If she would ever knew what I'm seeing as she's talking, she probably will get very embarrassed. Very, I mean, seriously, she was in that kind of consciousness that when all her education was one class of a church school, so she was reading like a first grade student, yet she would love to read books, except only in the big letters, so she could see it. And she will read fairy tale, and whenever in the fairy tale for children, the lovers are kissing, she would say, they shouldn't be writing it for children. So she was in that kind of consciousness. And her just to think that I could see what she's talking about, I would have been like, serious, right. Serious, killing the like what I would say.
I have a feeling, though, Valentina, that she knew what she was doing. I think she was passing things over to you that really went beyond the physical woman's reproductive system or something like that. She was passing on that deeper message.
Absolutely. Can you just imagine? It was the most atheistic time for Russia. No one believed that God exists. I didn't believe it either. And she would read the Bible, and she will put the little pieces of peppers or like candy wrap in the places where she wanted to read to me. And then as soon as I would come, she was reading those quotes from the Bible to me. Of course, I knew better, right? I was sitting and thinking, she doesn't know. God doesn't even exist.
But he brought you candy, so something was going on.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then when I became about 10 years old, I stopped saying this to her because each time I would say God doesn't exist, she will cry. So I thought I stopped so I wouldn't hurt her.
Yes. What was the learning process like for you regarding sharing your intuitions? As I've read about you, you started having very strong intuitions early on, and did it become an intuition behind the intuition that would tell you to share it with someone in the moment or wait?
I would say it has been and always still is whole complex. As soon as I learned to read, I was totally crazy about anything about medicine, especially ancient medicine. The modern medicine didn't attract me as much as the ancient and all the scientific research. But even before that, those things were happening with me, except I mean, what you would call intuition and intuitive vision, except I didn't take it as anything as a big deal. I was only smart enough to keep myself quiet. But I remember those things, like when I was 6 years old and my mom was joking with my our neighbor in the village, and they were talking about other neighbor, and they were saying this woman and her husband couldn't get pregnant, couldn't have their child. I was smart enough to keep my mouth shut and not to tell them what I knew I was to tell them. If she will sleep with her husband, of course, I didn't know what it means, but that's what I knew. If she will sleep with her husband and drink her urine in the morning, she'll get pregnant. So at least I knew not to say those things and not to get myself in trouble when I was six.
Did you ever give her that message, or did anyone?
No. I'm sure they wouldn't even take it for real, and it could have been like serious thing. I mean, when I was, I don't remember, maybe 10, 12, maybe 9, when I saw a woman, pregnant woman, with a very, very swollen legs, I'm looking at her and I'm thinking, wow, she's in really serious trouble. It's so hard for a baby. She needs to do something about that. But, you know, it's pointless to say something. When I was already maybe 20 years old, and I would tell people things I know, and they start to call me professor sarcastically, not appreciatively.
Mm.
That was not a really pleasant experience to tell people what you know.
Yes.
Until it came time, then I didn't have to try to push on them what I know, but just let them come and ask.
Yes, I'm sure it's different when someone comes to ask. What correlations were you initially able to draw between your natural healing and then what you were learning in university as a PhD in medical biochemistry?
I am totally priceless for that whole collection of all kinds of appearance, if I would say, of the knowledge in a different form. It always helps when they're coming together. And my biggest and highest belief is in the medicine, future medicine, hopefully near future medicine, when scientific knowledge, scientific medical knowledge will come together with what came from the times, from the folk knowledge. And I take place for myself and my life to do everything possible to bring those things together. Then it will serve us humans the best. Also, of course, for me, after I spent so much time studying all kinds of things, but a lot, chemistry and biological physics and related things, for me to work on people, to even look at them, or not to even look, but just feel them whenever we are talking and someone is mentioned, it really appears my way of feeling person or seeing person comes along not just with what we will feel as an energy. It's so much easier transfers into the other terms and the images. So it's so much easier than to explain that in much more useful way for our mind through some more specific terms, scientific terms, or the words from anatomy and physiology related to medical world, related to what already science is offering to us. That is a great hope, and I am always thinking and saying whenever I can that the more education person has in a different ways, the more experienced person has, the better work would be happening, especially in our fields related to energy work. I know I'm seeing people when they will just say they'll let God work through us, through them. It always works through us this way too. But the more we know, the better for us to be better messenger, I would say, and explain things better and do them better. When I'm working on people, I could see the picture in the anatomical way, or how the organ is functioning, how it is related, the way it already was described. We don't have to create whole new vocabulary of the images. We better use what is already created, and then from there we could go on with adding more explanation to that. And that will work the best.
Now that you've been out literally in the world doing your healing and medical intuitive work, are you finding that your Siberian Russian roots are unique, or do they fit in with all the other traditional healings? What do you feel is unique about your upbringing or your initial tradition?
Probably the most appreciative part of that comes not about as much tradition as much of the stamina that it has given to me, but I'm sure tradition has a lot to do with that. But to even handle all of this work and then being able to expand into the bigger vision and into the bigger world where all of those traditions are coming together. Of course, Siberian, especially Siberian shamanic tradition, comes with the tradition of shamans here, and that's where the children of the earth are related. But the feeling, the breath that each one has is totally different. And for me, it's always just an amazing way of watch how all of those flows are merging together and growing into the bigger picture. It's as if you will have a different, let's say, different colors of red or different shades of red. We mix them. It's still red. I'm just thinking at that time about Matisse, but it could be any other color. But somehow the shades came as the shades of red into my vision at this moment. And when they're mixing together, it's like a gulf of the ocean. You still see the different flows, different sorts of different waters. Each of them has a, like to me, it's an amazing feeling. It's like if you are seeing something flow, which you could also feel under your fingers and feel the pulsation of that. And you could feel pulsation of each of them. They're similar and they're different. Describing the difference is maybe not so easy because there's more similar. But when you go with the feeling, then you could really get that sense of a difference. It's like not just the different shades of, as I said, red, but also like a fullness of the flow.
Yes, I definitely get what you mean, for sure.
Whatever I'm saying, supposed to come, as I was asking, of course, universe to help with that, it's supposed to come with lots of feelings, and not only about what we're talking, but whatever is related and could be helpful to people with whatever questions they're trying to get answered in their life.
Yes. Is there one message you find yourself giving to clients more than any other?
The love is the message. And if whenever I put it in the words, I'm saying that message is not in the words. Message is the love itself. And the first step we are doing when we are learning how to put few words together to speak of love, and then when we want our voice to belong to love, so love will speak with that voice. But then it goes beyond that. And it changes through you, it changes through the voice, and it touches everyone. Not only one in our situation, not only one who is listening, but those who they will meet even for a short time in their life, and not necessarily just that day. It's the other part of the message. The love is contagious, let's put it. Highly contagious. And we need that so much.
Definitely. Valentina, how is it that you ended up coming to live in the U.S.?
One day, I woke up knowing that we're going to go to America, and I never thought about it before. I really didn't think about it ever. And I'm just waking up in the morning knowing that we're not only going to go to America, we, as me and two of my children, but we're going to move to America and live in America. And exactly the same day, my elder son, around the lunchtime, had asked me, why don't we go to America? And I already knew we would, so he got that independently from me. For me, it was, at the moment when it came, I didn't even think why, but later on I was thinking that I have so many things to share with the world. Now I know it's not just a word. That time I was thinking that's a knowledge and unique aspects of that to share with the world. Now I know better than that. It's far beyond any words possible could be spoken. But at that day, when my son said, why wouldn't we go to America? I did not want to tell him that I already know we would. So I said, who will need us in America? We don't have any money. We don't have any relatives. Who is waiting on us there? And he said, with your hands, Mom, people are waiting on us everywhere.
Oh.
And, you know, I will reward it right now. When you have that love flow that is so alive and pulsating in your heart, not necessarily hands, but just in you and your whole being, whole world needs you. Wherever you go, there are people who would always be looking to meet you.
Yes, and the path gets cleared, doesn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. In fact, when I came to America first time, I was coming with $100 in my pocket, and I was in two huge suitcases and some stuff in my hands besides suitcases, and no English, just a couple of words, and I was very sure that something will be happening. I wasn't sure if anybody will meet me. We sent a fax, but we did not know if that fax have got anywhere. And I was so sure that if no one will meet me, and that is not money to survive or stay in the hotel, then somebody will need my help, and we could help each other.
What are you going to be presenting in your talk that's going to be happening in Boulder tomorrow?
Other than love, in any way possible to be presented, I would also say that my work had taught me to see our purpose in life as the way when we are able to collect energy around or breathe that in, and then through our own body, our mind, emotional body, we are transforming that in a way that other person could use easily. Energy is all around. It's totally nonsense to be out of energy, to feel tired, to feel low in the energy. It just, for some reason, some people at that time are not able to get it as easily. So I believe the big part of what we are doing, besides the information and the words, is the way to bring that openness for a person in receiving that transformed energy. It's sort of like transforming, let's say, if it was electrical, symbolically, energy into the human life fields. So it is not just what you talk about, it's what it's about what you do and about teaching others how to do that. As soon as we are getting that all together again and remembered, then we put it into our life, health, business, our own and others. So that is the most important for me, to bring alive that ability in others to be able to do so for themselves and the ones they love.
There is an evening talk with Valentina and Misha, also a Russian energy master, tonight and tomorrow, as well as private sessions. Call 303-717-6724 or go to the website mishbe.com, MISHBE.com. As always, for any guest information, to listen to archives, share resources, or sign up for weekly programming, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. And for podcasting on iTunes, Tributaries Radio. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.